You're listening to audio from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more information about Pleasant Valley, visit our website at pleasantvalley.cc.
Well, tonight is going to be a little different. I'm not preaching. Instead, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you the story of a king and a savior who came and yet who is still coming. This is a story that was written over the course of 1,500 years by dozens of different authors. But the primary author who inspired every writer of this story, which is the Christmas story, the primary author is God Himself. And so I'm going to tell this story not using any of my own words or my own interpretation, but I'm going to tell this Christmas story using only the words of the one who wrote this story, the words of God Himself. And the story begins like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the livestock and the whole earth and all the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. Male and female, He created them. And then God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and then subdue it." And then God saw everything that He had made and He said, "Behold, it is all very good." And the Lord God took the man and He placed him in the Garden of Eden to watch it and to work it. The Lord God commanded the man, "Adam, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For on the day that you eat from that tree, Adam, you will most certainly die." But the serpent was the most crafty and cunning of all of the wild animals that God had created. The serpent said to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? You won't die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that if you eat of that tree, your eyes will be open and you will be like God and you will know good from evil." But the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and so delightful to look at, and that the tree was, and the fruit was so desirable for obtaining wisdom. So the woman took the fruit and she ate it. But then she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it also. And then God said to the man, "Adam, because you listened to your wife and because you ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from the tree. Adam, because of this, the ground is cursed because of you. You are dust, and to dust you must return." Then the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, you too are cursed. I will put hostility between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. You will strike his heel, but he will crush your head." The oracle of one who hears the sayings of God and who sees a vision from the Almighty. "I see him, but not now. I perceive him, but not near. A star will come from Jacob and a scepter will arise from Israel." God says, "Bethlehem, you are small among the clans of Judah, but one will come from you, Bethlehem, that will be ruler over all of Israel for me. So now this is what you are to say to my servant David. David, I will make a great name for you that is the greatest in all of the earth. David, I will raise up after you one of your descendants who will come from your body, David, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name. And David, I will establish his kingdom forever. I will be his father and he will be my son. But your house and your kingdom will endure before me forever. And your throne, David, will be established forever." God give your justice to this king that is coming and your righteousness to this king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your afflicted ones with great justice. May he vindicate the afflicted among the people. May he help the poor. May he crush all of the oppressors. May this king rule from sea to sea, from the Euphrates to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes kneel before this king and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and the coast and the inlands bring tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts to this king. Let all the other kings in the world bow down to this king and all nations serve this king. God says, I will install my king on Zion, on my holy mountain. I will declare the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, son, and I will make the nations your heritage, and I will give the ends of the earth as your possession. This is the declaration of the Lord to the son. Son, sit at my right hand, and I will make your enemies your footstool. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You, son, will rule over all of your surrounding enemies. But this king, he won't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him. No appearance that we would desire him. He will come to his own, but his own people will not receive him. This king will be despised. He will be rejected by men. Why will the nations rage and plot against the Lord's anointed son? Why will the kings of the earth take their stand against him when the rulers will conspire together against the Lord and against his anointed son? He will be a man of sorrows. He will be acquainted with much grief. He will be like someone people turned away from. We won't value him. He will be despised. Yet he himself will bear all of our sicknesses. He will carry all of our pains. But we, in turn, will regard him as stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he will be pierced because of our rebellion. He will be crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace will be on him. But we will be healed by his wounds, because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. But the Lord will punish his son for our sin. He will willingly submit to death. He will be counted among the rebels. Yet he will bear the sin of many. And he will intercede for those very rebels. The son will cry out, I am poured out like water. All of my bones are disjointed. My heart is like wax, melting within me. My strength is dried up like baked clay. My tongue sticks to the end of my mouth. Yet all they will give me for my thirst is vinegar. They put me into the dust of death. A gang of evildoers will enclose me. They will pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all of my bones. People look at me and they stare at me. They will divide my garments among them, and they will gamble and cast lots for my clothing. And all the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem, they will look at me, whom they will pierce. And they will mourn for me as one mourns for an only child. They will weep bitterly for me as one weeps for a firstborn. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? But there will be no more gloom for those who are in anguish. God shall make the land glorious again. By the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness, they will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, light will shine upon them. The Son will multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. Jesus, they will be glad in your presence. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And all of the governments will be upon his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His dominion will be vast. His prosperity will never end. Jesus will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it with justice and righteousness from now on and forevermore. Isaiah says, "Listen, house of David, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin. She will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." And then the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin. She was engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. Her name, the virgin's name, was Mary. And the angel came to young Mary and he said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering how could this greeting be. And the angel said, "Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. Listen, Mary, you will conceive and you will give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus and he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him a throne from which he will rule and reign forevermore. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom, Mary, will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." But he said to her, "Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Therefore, Mary, the Holy One to be born, will be called the Son of God." In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the empire should be registered. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to give birth, and then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Then in that same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to the shepherds, "Don't be afraid. Look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that's for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." And all of a sudden, there was a multitude of angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to all the people that God favors." But then there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This was a righteous man. He was devout, and he was looking forward to Israel's consolation. But the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon went into the temple, and then he blessed Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And he said to Mary, "Indeed, Mary, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel. Mary, your child will be a sign that will be opposed. Mary, a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." But then Jesus began to grow in wisdom and in stature, and he grew in favor with God and man. And then in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is here." Jesus is the one spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "A voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make the path straight." He's here. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately went up from the water. And in that moment, heaven suddenly opened up, and the Spirit of God, like a dove, descended upon Jesus, and a loud voice came down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm so well pleased." And then Jesus began to preach from that day forward, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here." Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. He healed every disease and sickness among the people. And the news about Jesus began to spread all throughout Syria. And they brought the people, all the people to Jesus that were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pains, the demon-possessed, the epileptics, the paralytics. And Jesus healed all of them. And then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. And no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. And then Jesus said to them later, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. Then Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. But apart from me, you can't do anything. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Even if you die, you'll live. If you believe in me, you'll never die. Then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. And then Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were merely thieves and robbers, but the sheep would not listen to them. But I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and you will find good pasture. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, because I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. They don't take my life from me. I lay it down, and I'll take it back again. But then Jesus went to his hometown, and he began to teach in their synagogue. The people were astonished, and they said, where did this man get this wisdom and all of these miraculous powers? And they were offended by him. Many of them said about Jesus, he's crazy. He's demon-possessed. Why do you listen to Jesus? But Jesus replied, truly I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but I only do what I see my Father doing. I and the Father, we are one. Jesus is even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And this is why the Pharisees went out and plotted against Jesus, how they might kill him. From that point on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and to be killed and to be raised on the third day. But then one of the 12, the man called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and he said, what are you willing to give me if I give you Jesus? So they weighed out 30 pieces of silver for Jesus. And from that time, Judas started looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. That night, Jesus was reclining at the table with his 12. And when they were eating, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. They were deeply distressed. And they each began to say, Jesus, we would never betray you. But Jesus replied, the one who dipped his hand with me in the bowl, he is the one that will betray me. And then Judas Iscariot said, surely not I, Rabbi. But as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it, and then he broke it. And he gave it to each of them and he said, eat this. This bread is my body. Then he took a cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to him. He said, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Then Jesus said to them, tonight, all of you will fall away from me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and all the sheep will be scattered. Peter said, Jesus, even if everybody else falls away because of you, I would never leave you, Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, truly I tell you, before the rooster crows tonight, Peter, you will deny me three times. Peter said, Jesus, even if I got to die with you, I would never do that to you. And all the other disciples agreed. Later, while Jesus was speaking, Judas suddenly arrived in a large mob with him, carrying swords and clubs. The betrayer, Judas, had given them a sign. The one I kiss, he's the one, arrest him. So immediately Judas went up to Jesus and he said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus asked him, "Friend, why have you come?" But all of this happened so that the writings of the prophets would be fulfilled. Then all of the disciples deserted Jesus and they all ran away. Peter was sitting outside in a courtyard, and a servant girl approached him and said, You were with Jesus the Galilean too. But Peter denied it in front of everyone and said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Then when he had gone out of the gateway, another woman approached Peter and told those who were there, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." And Peter denied it with an oath and said, "I don't know that man." And after a little while, those standing there approached and said to Peter, "You really are one of them. Your accent gives you away. You were with Jesus." And then Peter began to curse and he swore with an oath, "I don't know him." Immediately a rooster crowed. And then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken to him, that before the rooster crows, Peter, you will deny me three times. And Peter went outside and he wept. And he wept bitterly. Then Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You say so." While Jesus was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he never answered them. Pilate said to Jesus, "Jesus, don't you hear how much they are testifying against you?" But Jesus would not answer him on even one charge. So that the governor was quite amazed. This was because Isaiah had prophesied, "He will be oppressed and afflicted, but he will not open his mouth. He will be like a lamb led to the slaughter. He will be like a sheep before her shears, but he will not open his mouth." Then the governor's soldiers, they took Jesus into the governor's residence and they gathered the whole company around Jesus. Then they stripped him. They dressed him in a scarlet robe. They twisted together a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. And they placed a staff in his right hand. And they knelt down before Jesus and they mocked him. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him. And they took the staff and they kept hitting Jesus on the head over and over again. And then after they had mocked him, they stripped Jesus of his robe and they put his own clothes back on him. And then they led him away to crucify him. And from noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all of the land. And about 3 PM, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he gave up his spirit. But then after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see Jesus' tomb. And there was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven in that very moment, and he approached the tomb and he rolled back the stone, and sitting on the stone, his appearance was like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow, and the guards were so shaken by fear of the angel, they became like dead men. Then the angel told the woman, "Don't be afraid, because I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He's risen just like he told you he would be. Come see the place where he lay. The tomb is empty. It's right here." And then later, Jesus appeared out of the middle of nowhere in front of the disciples, and he said to them, "Peace to you." They were startled. They were terrified because they thought they'd seen a ghost. But Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? Why did doubts arise in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and blood and bones like I have. I told you I was coming back." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. He told them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you." And then he told them everything written about him in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, that they all had to be fulfilled. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted for them everything in the Bible concerning himself. And then he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while Jesus was blessing them, he left them and he was carried away into heaven. And while he was carried away, they were gazing into heaven. And out of the sudden, out of the blue, two men in white clothes stood in their presence. And these men said, "Men of Galilee, why are you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven, he will come back in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." Then I saw heaven opened. And there was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. And he judges and he makes war with justice. His eyes were like fiery flames. Many crowns were on his head. And he had a name written that no one knows except himself. And he had a robe on, and it was dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The armies that were in heaven followed him, also on white horses. And they were all wearing pure white linen. A sharp sword came out of his mouth, so that he could strike the nations with it. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will trample the winepress with the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And he has a name written on his robe and on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But then Jesus said, seated on the throne, "Behold, I'm making all things new." Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first earth, the first heaven, they had passed away. And the sea was no more, it was gone. But then I saw a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. The main street of the city, you should have seen it. It was pure gold, transparent like glass. There was no temple in that city, because the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb, they were the temple of the city. The throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in that city. The servants will worship the Lamb. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. There will be no need for light or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Then I heard another loud voice on the throne. "Look, God's dwelling place is with humanity. God will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God, and he will wipe away every single tear. Death will be no more. Grief will be no more. Pain will be no more. Crying no more, because the previous things are all gone, and the curse will be no more." Then King Jesus said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest to these things for the churches. I am the root. I am that descendant of David that you read about. I am that bright and morning star. Both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears my voice say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let he who desires take the water of life freely and drink. King Jesus, who testifies about these things, says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The first time King Jesus came, it was a silent night. But the second time he comes, it won't be a silent night. So let's stand together, church, and let's sing the praises of the King who came, but of the King who is still coming, the Lord Jesus Christ.